This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! But mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Get your dancing shoes. Let's go up on the bar. I see my co-host is up there. He's got those big platform heels on, and he's tapping away. You've tuned in to Motormouth Tequila Radio right here on WHPC, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your hosts, Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. Chris, get off the bar and talk to me, will you?
All right. I have my orthopedic socks on. I got my high heel sneakers. I'm ready to dance the night away with the champs and tequila.
Absolutely. Yes. Kiwi Switzer. Yes,
we are blasting in with the maximum amount of automotive knowledge today on Motormouth Radio, and I think we're all duly prepared for it.
Yes, as best. Well, we're duly prepared as best as we can be, because you never know.
You know? Yes. Yeah. Hey, just want to jump in with a quick tidbit. Happened a little family thing. I think I told you a couple of weeks back, I had a cousin that had a brand new Nissan that had problems shifting in and out of gear.
Yes.
And I wanted to follow up on that because she went to the dealer to say, hey, this is a brand new vehicle. And I can't shift in and out of gear. And the dealer opened up the console and found that there was, quote unquote, I'm using my fingers as quotations here on radio.
You are.
That there was moisture under the shift quadrant. And of course, that's where the cup holders are. And they said to her, you're using cup holders for liquid? Are you crazy? And she was like, what are you talking about? So they wouldn't cover the repair. And they were going to charge her to fix the vehicle. And she was like, oh, you haven't heard the last of me, young man.
Oh, wait, did she do what she was raised and trained to do? Did she go over with the knuckle and pop him right in the forehead and say, hey, you, listen up, knucklehead.
Well, basically she did, because she got a call from the dealership. The dealer was happy to repair the vehicle on the arm.
All right.
They were taking care of it. And it was right after she called the local news.
Wow.
And explained to them the problem with the ill-designed cup holders and how any liquid can destroy the transmission on these Nissan. What she had, the Nissan
Rogue.
Like,
I think
one of the.
Yeah,
it was a Rogue.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. And so she was like, "Okay, you haven't heard of the last of me, because
right.
That's my cousin."
Of course not.
When she says, you haven't heard the last of me, you can believe her.
You better go and hide.
So, yeah. So, yes, hats off to the local media reaching out to the Florida dealership that was handling the situation.
Okay.
And saying, you don't want to talk to us? You better fix our car. Cool. So that's what they're doing. So yeah, I'm assuming it was a, it's definitely a design flaw on Nissan's part, because I mean, I try really hard not to spill anything out of a cup holder in a console, but you know, it happens. I mean, for crying out loud, something's going to happen like that eventually.
I'll tell you this, they may not want to talk to her, but if you want to talk to us, you can call us at 516-572-7440. And you're right. Now, I like you, I don't drink a lot of soda anyway, unless there's Jack Daniels in it. But anyway, I don't drink sodas when I drive. You know, maybe leave a fast food, got an iced tea or something. Usually it's water, you know, and water is much more innocuous than the sugary drinks and stuff
right.
like that. But yeah, I have seen some cars that were pretty well gacked up, if you will, from the sugary substances that have been spilled in their appendages.
And that's a good word. Yeah, it's been gacked up a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
And I get it. A lot of times if we're doing a long haul, you know, I'm not getting any younger. And a lot of times I'm on the Garden State Parkway bopping along, and next thing you know, your eyelids are getting heavy. So at times, I mean, I don't drink soda very often, but when you don't want to handle a hot cup of coffee to keep you awake, sometimes the caffeine in a cold soda isn't so bad. So you go into the local bodegas or whatever have you, and you grab a bottle and you put it in the cup holder. But what I try to do is I try to unscrew the cap, take a swig, and then put the cap back on and put it back in the cup holder.
Yes.
I try to do it. That's the intent. And a lot of times if I can't do it because I'm too busy holding on a steering wheel, I kind of keep the bottle close to me as I'm driving and then put it back when I can put it back in the cup holder. I know this is information that really is not something that we should be discussing on a show or anybody writing this stuff down, but still it's something that you should keep in mind at times.
Well,
When you're on the road.
And the way things go in this show, of course, it's all stream of consciousness. And I'll tell you that.
That's what you want to call it.
even more off the track, I'll be at my desk, be it at work or at home, and have a bottle of water. And I'll open it to maybe take my medication or whatever. And I make sure I recap it and move it away. Because my clumsy hands, I've hit that bottle all over the place. And now it's dribbling down into the keyboard and the mouse is now floating. So, yeah, I've done that. Yeah. The newspaper now is like, you know, wet. So,
yeah, it's the truth.
Recap and that bottle.
It makes me crazy. I love coffee, just regular coffee, chock full of nuts, no Starbucks stuff. I like regular old brown old coffee. And it makes me crazy when you spill it.
Right.
You ever spill coffee and then it smells, especially in the car. Like if I'm hanging out with the guys or whatever, having to send everyone out for coffee, I won't go.
Right.
Because it's like you're putting four coffees in one of those Dunkin' Donuts trays. You know, one of them is going to dump on the carpet in your car.
Right.
And then the car reeks of that old coffee smell. It makes me nuts.
That's better than some other old smells you could get in a car. You've had police cars. You know what they can. Take that back seat out. See what you find.
Yeah. You got to get the flatulent smell out of it.
And worse. But, you know, I want to tell you, we do have our good friend Matt Goman Bryan is down in Maryland today. He's listening on a stream. I don't know. I didn't really fully understand him. He said he's listening from HF parking lot. I don't know what the HF parking lot is. I'm not sure. On Skip Hunt. And I don't know what the Skip Hunt is either, unless he's looking for, like, you know, what do you, you know, when it's like when stations skip across the atmosphere, maybe that's what he's getting us on. He's listening on the X. But I want to bring up a subject today that listeners may want to get in on about tools. We had talked about this a while ago, put something up on our website. We had a video that went out on Motor Mouth Videos about, about tools, what tools you've forgotten or not. I forget exactly how it was worded. But what I want to talk about was, in the world of tools, we all buy them, we all use them, we have our normal, you know, our core tools, of course, that you need, ratchets, sockets, wrenches. But
I keep my core tools close, yes.
Yeah, but what does it take, this is the thought I had this week, to make you buy a specialty tool? And one that you may or may not use. Now, obviously, if you're in a shop, a specialty tool becomes one of the core tools because you're doing axles, or you're doing hubs, or you're doing. And it was this, actually, I was looking at this OTC hub grappler, and it was a tool that you could, remove and press. Hub
you
bearings.
Want to grapple your hub, huh?
Hey, that's what they call it. I didn't name it. It actually is used. It's just a rod with attachments made to press a new bearing. It's like when you buy hubs for a car, front hubs, wheel bearings. Right. You did this on your the Mazda. No, on the Ford, right? A lot of times the bearing comes in the hub. It's an assembly. But sometimes they sell you just the bearing. So you have to extract the old one and put in a new one. And this tool lets you do that without having a big shop press. And you could do it literally in a parking lot if you had to. So
that's interesting. I'd be interested. I would consider purchasing a tool like that. Yes. After what I went through to get extract the hub out of the back of the Explorer, forget it.
I will tell you, in this case, the hub grappler, it's a couple $100 for that tool. It's got to be, I did look it up. I didn't write it down. I don't remember if it was $300, $400, $500. It was a few hundred, but it wasn't a light expenditure. It was, was like, if you're going to go out and buy an inductor, you better know you're going to use it because you're dropping, a few yards on this thing.
But I will also say, just talking about the inductor for one second, I would say it's worth every penny. whatever the cost is, it's worth every penny. As far as I'm concerned, I am a true fan of that specialty tool. But when I tell you how I solved the problem with the Explorer was I had to buy that whole unit, that whole aluminum casing that the bearing sat in and the rear suspension sat on. And that was $400. And I did both sides.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, because I wasn't even going to attempt to take the driver's side was bad as well. I wasn't going to even attempt to try and extract the bearing from that yoke piece that sat there, that assembly. Mm-hmm. So I figured, heck with it, just buy two of them. So I did.
Right.
I bought them both. And it was painful to get rid of those because they were still good. They just had bad bearings in them. And I'm sure a tool like this would have solved that problem. And I probably could have flipped those assemblies.
That's if you could have got the bearing separately. It depends. It all depends how they sell it. Because some, like I did my daughter's RAV4, and it was the hub and bearing as an assembly.
Right.
Now, I may have, sometimes you can look and find just the bearing and then reuse the hub. So you got to look for your application. But again, it's what does it take you to get that specialty tool? And, a lot of guys are a lot quicker to purchase than others. And that's why, Brian's insight would be great. He's already telling me he can get me a wheel bearing set, not an OTC, because it's $1 million. I don't know.
It's so funny to be part of Ray's inside circle of communication. You have to be on a short list to be on that part, because Ray included into the show.
Well, you're right. When you're part of my life,
let's look into the inner circle of knowledge.
Well, when you're part of my life, you're part of my show, you're part of my hobbies, you're part of I pretty much embrace everybody with a big bear hug, and I don't know if I can actually get my arms around Brian because he's bigger than me, but I'd still give him as much of a hug as I could. Because he sees this stuff every day. I mean, the man's working in the field. This is his this is his life,
But it's so funny how you transcend into your, just a side note here, your presentation of knowledge. You used to have at one time the world's most dangerous notebook.
Right.
And that was one of those things that if any topic came up, you would literally, and I'd watch you do it in the studio, you would open up that notebook, go flip, flip, flip. Oh, here's the answer right here in the notebook. And now you have that inner circle of knowledge on your phone.
Right.
So you have the world's most dangerous cell phone.
Well, yeah. Like I said, your contacts are always more important than your toolbox or whatever. It's like, and we've always said this, we don't know it all. We've never professed to know it all, but we know somebody who can, if we don't know it, we know someone who does. And like I said, during the week, you got to see the way the texts and the phone calls go around between the people that I know. And doing that Thursday night show really, it broadened my game quite a lot. That's where Brian comes from and Jesse John.
And it's broadened my game too, because I watch about 10 minutes of it, my eyes get heavy, and I go,
right. Yeah, it's good for that. Yeah.
No, it's a good show.
We have now learned, now food has become usually our ending topic. We usually end up with something like that.
I know.
And then we all go up and we stink up our kitchens at midnight.
Exactly. I'm glomming down bowls of Cheerios usually after.
Right.
Because
right.
I don't want to stink up the kitchen.
Right.
Because that'll wake up the family. What are you making?
Well,
I don't want to do that.
Well, that's what happened a couple weeks ago. We were talking about stuff, and Brian went up and he made a sandwich. I don't remember if that was his grilled cheese or his ham, but yeah, it was something that he cooked. And the next day, his daughter nailed him and said, "Dad, what were you cooking last night?" He's like, "Nothing." I was like, "Oh, I smelled it." You know, there was probably some remnants and crumbs. He goes, "Dad, it wasn't me. I don't know. It must have been a dog." You know, it's like they nailed him the next day.
Don't feel so bad. The one morning after watching the show, Dawn wakes up and she's like, "You were crunching way too loudly last night." Funny. I'm like, "Crunching way too late? You got to be kidding me."
That's great. Hey, I want to tell you something funny. This was really an interesting thing. My wife and I, during the week, we decided to take a drive. And I said, "Hey, you know what? I just feel like having Nathan's. I feel like having a Nathan's hot dog." You know,
I get that. You must have been really hungry, because that's usually when I'm really hungry. I feel like a hot dog. I'm like, I better eat something else.
No, I can. But, okay. I can do that. Like sometimes dinner plans fell apart or something. And she's like, "Well, you know, we can make hot dogs." Like, fine. You know, I'm not above having a hot dog for dinner. You know, when I told her this, she was kind of appalled at first. But I said, "You know what?" I'm like, "I don't feel like eating. No problem. Like, you know, when I get hungry, I'll have a bowl of cereal. I can have cereal for dinner. I don't care."
Oh, yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter to me. So, regardless, we drive to the local Nathan's. We had our hot dog and french fries, of course. And right. As we're sitting there, two guys pull up on the sidewalk on these two-wheeled motorized vehicles. They kind of look like big scooters, like a scooter to me, you know. And they came in and they ate, and they were young guys. It was a mixed, you know, it was a kind of a, it was nice. It was, you know, they were of different orientations racially, which was kind of nice to see, guys hanging out.
Yeah, cool.
So they left before us, and they're outside hanging out. One guy was smoking a butt. And we walk out, and I walk right over to him. I said, "Hey, fellas," I said, "do you mind if I ask you, like, are these things, like, street legal, registered?" And the guy says, "Yeah." I said, "So they're registered as a motorcycle?" "Yeah, they are." So we got to talking. It ends up they're Honda CB125F bikes.
I got to look at this.
They're small. Well, you'll probably find the one that it isn't, because a different picture always comes up. This one was called the Grob. I'm like, what the hell is a Grob? I looked it up. I was on one of the message boards. A Grob, it stands for, in American dialect, it stands for a young surfer. In British, it stands for hooligan. And in Russian and Polish, it means thunder. But anyway, it's a small little bike. You know, and these guys will love them. They go, "Oh, we love these. We go in and out. We go." I mean, I bet you can. I'm looking at it. I said, "What does the tire cost for this thing?" Because one guy's rear tire was bald. He goes, "Oh, $30. I'm like, $30?
$30 so, for a tire?
So we're talking about, I said, "Wow, it looks really cool. Got traditional shifter and brake and clutch." And he goes, "Hey, you want to take it for a ride around the block? You know, you want to take it?" I just met this guy, right? And he's there offering me to take this. And I said, "No, thanks." I said, "I appreciate the offer, but, you know, that's okay. I'll pass on that." So I get home and I said, "You know what? That'd be kind of a cool little thing to jump around on, maybe." So I looked them up, and they cost about $3,400, but they get between the averages are like between 100 and 166 miles per gallon.
Wow! And it's called a Grom.
Grom, yes. So now we are on the phones back with the fun, and we're talking with none other than Grilled Cheese Man himself.
Hey, guys. It's Hey Macro Man. What's up?
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Hey, Brian. How are you, my brother?
Man, just having fun out here being a bounty hunter.
I got to say, yes, you got to tell us about that. But I when I asked, I didn't know I've had listeners getting in touch with me now saying, "Oh, he's at Harbor Freight." They understand the lingo.
Yep, that's where I'm at. Downtown, beautiful Laurel, Maryland, out here in the parking lot.
So, which is great. Tell us why the Matco Tool Man is at Harbor Freight on a Sunday afternoon.
Well, unfortunately, there's a few people that like to buy stuff and not pay. And so when they owe money, they stay away from us tool guys because they know that we can track them down within our system. But unfortunately, they still need tools, so they run to Harbor Freight, and unfortunately, I turn around here in the parking lot, and I find a few people to have a little conversation.
Wow. Holy smokes, Brian, that's brilliant.
When Brian first told me that, I thought it was excellent because the guy can't get credit now from Mac, or can't go to Snap-on, can't go to Mac if the Mac guy's around. We know that, you know, man ain't coming, that's what Mac stands for. But they need tools, and you can't go to Craftsman, and you can't go to Sears, so where are they going to go? Harbor Freight. So.
Yep. And so I just kind of hang out. Usually I go later in the afternoon, but my spidey senses or my tool senses, I went a little early today, and it hasn't been too bad. I, you know, got my Cash App, Vimeo credit card machine, and take cash.
Did you get lucky at all? Did you pick anybody?
Oh, yeah, I've had a few.
Nice. Nice. I love it.
That's awesome.
You know, like I said, unfortunately, I mean, sometimes I wish I had the tool truck because they run in there and they can't find what they want or they have some specialty. I put them in a sale in the parking lot for that giveaway.
Wow.
In order to hide the elephant, you know?
Well, you gotta get like a wrap that you could put over the Matco logo so it looks just like a sausage and peppers. No, you know, guys want lunch. Just put like a white wrap over it so it just looks like a box truck.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'll tell you what, as we're talking about, if you repossess any of those OTC grapplers, let us know. We could be in the market up here for one of those tools.
Like I said, I sent you a text on them you were talking about getting specialty tools or having tools and then getting rid of them. I got a real quick story if we got a moment.
Yeah, go.
Sure.
Hey, I had a Brannick strut installer, and it's one of those big strut tools that mount on the wall, and when I left turning wrenches, I brought it home, and I didn't know where to mount it, so it sat on the floor in the garage, and everywhere I put it, I would trip over it. Finally, one day, a shop owner asked me, goes, hey, I'm looking for one of those strut installers, and I said, man, I got a good used one, I'll sell it to you, and he said, great, and I sold it. And then, of course, a week later, guess who had to put struts in his car?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I love it.
But at least you knew where you could go to use a machine, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what everybody said. But, you know, of course, it's on, you know, working around their time instead of just, you know, taking it apart in my garage and not worrying about it. But, man, I was like, that's it. I'm not going to sell any of my specialty stuff or tools again because every time I sold one, it's like anything else. You throw it away, 2 days later you need it, you know?
Right, right.
You bet. And what's even worse is, Brian, what's even worse is like you've been tripping over that thing. What happens if you never sold it, you need it, and then you can't find it? That is my life.
Well, you threw it out, you finally said, let me just get rid of it. Yeah.
You know what? Yeah, it's the truth. I was looking for my tall pipe wrench. I have a 3 foot tall pipe wrench, and I've been moving this pipe wrench around for 30 years, knowing I'm never gonna need this thing. Well, last week I needed it, and wouldn't you know it, I went through the garage, couldn't find the silly thing.
Yep.
I can't find it. It's making me crazy.
Yep.
I didn't give it. I'm thinking to myself, Ray, did I loan it to you?
No.
Like,
no.
I didn't loan it to anybody.
No,
no one even knew I had it.
Right.
It was literally, I've had this thing, I've been moving it around, tripping over it, can't find it when I need it.
Yeah.
So I wish I would have sold it. I'd have some money.
Well, how's that saying go? Don't think about it or look for something else and you'll find it.
Amen. Right.
I learned that from Chris, and I've told that story on the Thursday Night Show, how I've, you know, just stopped looking for something, and then, you know, within a week or two, you'll be looking for something else, and then you'll find the first thing you were looking for, and like, oh, here it is. It was right in front of me, but I looked in front of me. Ah!
Yeah.
Happens every time. I have a box full of, I can't tell you how many carpenter squares and tape measures and, I don't know, X-Acto knives, you would think that I was some gang member or something handing out X-Acto box knives, you know, because I can't find them. I put them down and then they're like, walking through the hardware store. Well, I need another one, you know? So right. It's insane how many buy.
Well, that's what I started doing is I'm kind of cleaning things up and organizing. I'm trying to put things with other like things in boxes. So at least I'll have a box full of those instead of having one in every box, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Very true.
Yeah.
Oh, it's gotten to the point where if I'm working with Dawn on something and we're working with a tape measure, I tell her, don't hand it to me. Don't hand me the tape measure because I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to put it down somewhere, and she's going to say, where's the tape measure? And I'm going to say, I don't know where it is.
Yep.
Don't hand it to me anymore. Yeah. You handle that. You hold on to it.
There you go.
Yeah, I've gotten to that point now where I don't give me anything. Don't give me an X-Acto knife. I'll lose it. Just lose it. I'll be like you, Brian. I'll have them all over the place. They'll be everywhere. But other than where the place where I need it, it won't be there.
It could end up being like when they asked Homer Simpson to develop a car and he put a horn everywhere. You'll just have like that particular tool in every corner of the house or whatever, so, or in each drawer in the kitchen, you know? So it's crazy.
It's perfect.
That's
hysterical. Totally get it. Totally get it. Well, I hope your bounty hunting turns out lucrative for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I'm out here for a little bit longer, and usually I come up after the show, but like I said, something told me to come a little earlier and just hang out and see what's going on, and hopefully I can track down. And actually, I think I almost have a fish on a hook here.
You know, you could always try this. You could always pipe the show out over like a PA speaker, and either the sound of our voices will attract them to the truck, or maybe they'll repel them, and then you can run after them. It's like spooking a bird out of a tree, and then you know which way to shoot. Hey, it's worth a shot, right?
That's it. I think I got to go, guys.
All right. Go get your fish.
Okay.
We'll talk later, Brian. Thanks.
I'll be in touch, and I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. So long.
See you guys.
That's good. Be
bye-bye.
Safe. Go reel in that fish.
He caught a live one.
He caught a live one.
That is great.
Brian fishing in the Harbor Freight parking lot for the scafflaws.
Classic. So speaking of scofflaws and things that hang out in parking lots, do we have an honor group of the hour for our bottom of the hour break today, Chris?
As amazing as it sounds, Ray, we are simpatico here on the Motor Mouth Radio extravaganza because the Motor Mouth Radio honor group of the hour is if you have a tool in your toolbox, you don't know what it is or why it's there.
Uh-huh.
If it's not a bent butter knife, hey, you know what that does. If it's not the long, thin screwdriver wrapped in plastic coat, you know what that does, too. But if you could pick it up with one hand, turn it around, still don't know what it is, what purpose it does. If you show it to your friends and they know less than you do, they don't know what it is. And if you've been moving it around from toolbox to toolbox for years, hoping that one day you will have a reason to put this mystery tool to use, and so far having no luck. If you have no clue what this thing does or how it got there, you are part of the Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. That's that for great minds thinking alike.
Excellent. That's very good. So for once in all the times we've been doing this, the things did align to actually work with each other.
Yes.
And also I have to say that if you find yourself in the middle of the week with nothing to do, like we do on Thursday nights, we jump on Plane in Traffic, you can listen to It's Saucy on this station. It's Wednesdays at 11 p.m., the aired time. That's when your host, DJ Steph, will transcend the new era of hip hop and reggae with flavor and variety. She does it every week. Listen for interviews with students about NCC events, artists talking about their music, and much more. Plus, there's trending topics across social media, which is something we always talk about. And
if she adds some meat, then it's gravy.
There you go. And something that we talked about this week that came up in a little bit of a side conversation where your future is concerned, something something you need to do so that you can get off some social media platform that we spoke about. We'll lead into that with our musical selection. And you can sing along, especially if you know the bass line, because it's always nice if you could be, you know.
Don't tell me. Get a job.
Wow, that's pretty good. Yeah, that would be, wouldn't that, now, could you imagine the mind meld if that's really what's going on? Let's check it out on WHPC. 90.3, keep it where you got it.
Dip, 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 dip.
Hi, this is Ray Guarino, host of Motormouth Radio, heard Sundays at noon on the voice of Nassau Community College, and this show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by the Town of Oyster Bay. Supervisor Joe Saladino invites you to the Town of Oyster Bay's car show, Long Island Spring Classic, presented by Bethpage Federal Credit Union, Now Medical, MSG Networks, Ambassador Home Improvements, and PSEG Long Island on Saturday, April 30th at Tobey Beach, featuring classic muscle and exotic cars and 4x4s, a food truck corral, vendors, displays, and live music by that 70s band. It's all at the Town of Oyster Bay's Long Island Spring Classic on Saturday, April 30th at Tobey Beach. More information and how to enter your car into Car Show Long Island is available by calling 516-797-4121 or by visiting online at carshowli.com.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Hello, gentlemen. Call yourself hot rodders. Come on, man.
I was waiting for you to learn how to trim my bonsai plant.
Motor Mouth.
Love the show and keep them coming.
You have to excuse me. I was just outside messing around with the car.
I'm reluctant to say I'm anything like you guys.
Motor Mouth.
But I am exactly like you guys.
I try and keep every old thing going.
Good show as usual.
Motor Mouth.
You guys are trouble.
I know you guys have your finger on the pulse of stuff.
I'll train staff of two will help.
Come on and ask and answer some car questions. I'm a fountain of useless knowledge.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Instructions are just another man's opinion, Ray.
Yeah, I talk to you guys when I need you. I appreciate you. I listen to you.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I'll be glad to answer any questions for you. I can.
You're indifferent because you glow in the dark, so it's
yes.
All good.
Rob, can I ask you a question?
Sure, ask anything.
Vote him out.
Have you heard from Ray or Chris saying that this was going to be the best show ever in the history of
mankind?
No,
you see, it's
mankind.
Funny because Gray will come in and say, well, Rob, this is going to be the greatest show we've
ever done.
It's
not Sunday morning until I'm sure.
And sometimes Chris...
Motormouth Radio is going to be the best show that was ever done.
And then Chris will sometimes joke that it's going to be the worst show they've ever done.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motormouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motormouth!
Hey, you, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motor Mouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
Get a job. Yeah, you lazy lout. Get out and get a job. We know that comes from high and far, and I couldn't resist. I couldn't resist. But, you know, one other thing I couldn't resist, we've been talking about all these events and things, of course, the Town of Oyster Bay Car Show coming up and all of that. And I want to remind people that down in Desiland in Orlando, I know we're on Long Island, but people listen all over the place. They're doing this model car build competition on Sunday, June 12th, where they'll have best box stock, best custom, best paint, and best junior builder. What I did, using the far-reaching influences of this fine show, is right. I've reached out to none other than Steve Magliante, the king of the model builders.
Yes, model builder extraordinaire. Yeah,
and I asked if he'd be interested in going down to be a judge at that model car competition. And right now he's at Barrett Jackson, so in Florida, so he's a little busy. But when he, I don't know, we'll see. And you know what's going to happen is I'll have to obviously hand him off to the people at B because there should be some fee involved. Steve, you know, probably doesn't work for free.
One would hope. Yes, but I've actually been watching his junkyard crawls on YouTube. I've been stumbling on them. Yeah. Man, what a wealth of knowledge!
Yeah,
I wish I could write down some of the stuff that he extrapolates.
Yes,
he does a very good job of explaining the vehicle in a short amount of time, and that's what I like. Is you know when you watch a YouTube video, it starts off with the first. Of course, 2 minutes of some sort of wacky graphic accompanied with some na-na-na-na-na type of guitar that we all know and loathe. Steve jumps right into it. And it's there's a little guitar in it. Not so bad. A little bit. A couple of seconds. All right, done.
It was kind of funny because, you know, one of the other guys that I watch who we've had on his show, Tony DeFeo, Uncle Tony's Garage, he did something April 1st for April. You know how we love the old April Fool's gags, right?
Mm.
Well, he did a thing. He obviously has no intro to his show. He just comes in, videos cold begin, cold live, cold end. And
right. He
came in and he was doing like a fake endorsement for some kind of like Bob's Bearing Pack or whatever. And his wife, Uncle Kathy, who does the video, kept telling him, no, what are you doing? We don't do that. Well, yeah, we need an intro. We don't have an intro. And then he goes, okay, forget that. And he'll start talking. And then he had like another, like a bottle, an antifreeze bottle with tape over it that had something written on it, you know, George's Goose Grease or whatever. And like, so he kept doing these hokey product placements. And that was his.
Did he have Mother Switzer's convertible top soap in there too?
Oh no, that there's definitely a patent on that nobody can get through. The lock on that thing is so it's like a Venus flytrap. Nobody can. Christian, our good friend Christian from Long Island Racing, tried to get a secondary patent to produce the stuff, and there were black SUVs at his house sitting outside, and he was like, "Oh boy, I better give this one up. Go back to the making my syrup."
Right.
Dangerous.
Just go back to the trees.
Muy dangeroso is what it was. And he said,
yes,
I know
that's funny.
I know when to back off. So,
yes, so. Please call us 516-572-7440. I got to bring up something. I've been working on a school project, and part of the project is finding something called a mutant statistic. Basically, what it means is that a lot of journalists and a lot of media will take a statistic and just regurgitate it and put it into their articles and something that has started out incorrect has literally grows legs and then almost not that it becomes correct, but it becomes believable even though it isn't correct. So that's part of our lesson plan. And as I was looking, I actually found
that's how this show is produced.
Yes, so a lot of mutants.
So you really had good information to put in that report. Yeah, something that no one else would.
Oh, wealth of.
Is that why I've been getting those phone calls that I've been.
from my professor, yeah.
Oh, that's what you call it. Okay.
One of the things that I found interesting was an article about used car prices. Now, I don't know if this is a mutant statistic or not. But listen to this. According to CNBC, used car prices, they may be easing, as the research shows, because they've jumped by as much as 50% through the course of the pandemic in the last, 18 months? But the prices are still high for a used car. 1 to 3 years old, the average cost is $41,000.
Wow.
For a used vehicle, I have to sit back and go, is that real?
Well, it took me a year to sell my used vehicle. You know.
Yeah, right. It's true, and it's kind of funny because it took a long time to sell my used vehicle as well, and once mine got snapped up, that's when I was reading all about these used car explosions.
I think it's a little hokey. I think it's a little contrived. I do.
Yeah, but I think you're right.
I'll tell you what's not, though. Is because I know a few people personally. Now, this is how you get real data when you have firsthand knowledge.
Agreed.
A few people that we both know, have had vehicles that were on a lease. They were coming off the lease, and what they did is they bought the car or truck for a good price, and then Carvana would come and buy it for another 30% over what their buyout was. And I know. Mm-hmm. At least three solid cases that happened to fairly recently. So the lease stuff.
I believe it.
Yeah. But the used car stuff, I don't know. You know, everybody was saying, and I kept saying, my wife kept telling me, why don't you just dump the car? But give it. I'm like, used car prices are up. Come on. I got a sellable thing. Well, it took a year, but I didn't see that happening. Yeah.
Is it still gone? No calls? No.
I actually had a sighting of it yesterday.
No way. Yeah.
Well, because that car was that, that blue color that was great, because you see all the silver jelly beans and white jelly beans in a parking lot, that blue car stood out. It was Mazda blue. No, actually it was Mike Jr. who spotted it. He gave me a call. He says, "Hey, I saw your car." And of course, Mike being a license plate aficionado, that's one of his hobbies is license plate history. He says, "Yeah, it's got new clean plates. They were K plates." I'm like, "You're right. They are. They were like KW plates. I noticed that because I put the plates on the car for the guy." I said, "Yeah, they were."
Wow.
So he spotted it, and then we conferred and said, "Yeah, that was it. You got it. It's still around. It's
good to know it's still running. It's always a plus."
That was the thing when I sold that car. And I told people, I said, I was total disclosure. I told the guy the good, the bad, the ugly. Like, there really wasn't much bad or ugly, but,
Right. You kept effort.
Give him all the information and said, this is what you got. And the funny thing was, in that whole exchange, the car developed a little bit of, there's a spot on the hood that rusted. I found out those cars were known for it.
And, oh, wow.
And actually, now, it was an 06, that car.
Right.
So it had some years on it. But a few years ago, when I just started seeing the bubbling on the hood, I was like, what the hell is this? How do you get rust there? But I had another guy that knows Mazdas look at mine and say, wow, did you change this hood? I'm like, no, why? This is the original hood. He goes, because usually way before now, these things have holes in them. And I said, well, I did keep the car washed and waxed. I kept it clean. He says, you know what? That may have gone a long way to keeping that rust at bay. So
really,
the interesting, and there was some other rust on the car and the wheel. Well, that was the Japanese car rust, typical. But the guy who bought the car never opened his mouth once about any of it. He looked at it, he touched it. I was the one who said, brought it up and said, yeah, let's talk about that.
Oh, you fell into the trap. Well, no way, really?
Yeah, because listen, what am I going to say? No, there's no rust there. Of course. Listen, it's looking us straight in the face. You can't deny it. So,
right.
And I told him, like, some of the rust in the back, said, that broke my heart to see that. I really hated to, because I had mud flaps on the car. But, I've seen them where they're a lot worse. But I think he understood the value of the car, especially since I had all of my maintenance records and I made copies of them. I stuck them in the car.
That's gold.
From day one. And he was looking at that and he knew that, okay, this car was cared for. Whatever else happened to it is just, just from being in the world,
Exactly.
So it was a nice change.
That's worth the price of the car right there.
Yeah.
Because as well as anybody else, you buy a used car, you're buying a big mystery.
A big question mark, right.
Yeah, big question mark. You don't know what was done to that car. You don't know what wasn't done to that car.
Right.
And I can't tell you how many times I've bought a used vehicle and you start dumping the fluids and you're like, holy smokes, starts telling the story of the lack of maintenance. And you're like,
I got to tell you, one of my favorite stops, I watch it on YouTube all the time. It's a site called Just Rolled In. And they put up these videos that are maybe 3 minutes. They're all about 3 or 4 minutes tops. And it's a compilation of stuff that comes in from shops around the country. People send those videos in. And it's like, customer said he came in for an oil change. Like, it hadn't been done in 70,000 miles. And they pull the plug real slow and like a little bit of something trickles out, and the guy will put like a screwdriver in there and get like a clump, and then there'll be like gravy and and they'll show like filters that haven't been changed. The customer state, it's the customer state stuff. You know, customer said they wanted the wheel balance. There was a little bit of a vibration, and they lift the car and grab the wheel, and there's like the hub broke, like the knuckle broke. There's like the thing is flapping around, like a little bit of a vibration. So anyway, if you have some time on YouTube, look at Just Rolled In.
Just Rolled In.
They suck me in. I'll watch one after the other, after the other, after the other. I just can't stop. And you'll see stuff like that with very, very poor maintenance habits and what happens as a result. And actually, by watching those, I say to myself, you know, if I didn't work on cars or own cars that I maintained, and if I watched all those videos, I would think every car in the road was a piece of crap. But they're not, obviously, because people do maintain some cars. This is obviously the worst of the worst. But
right.
Horrendous.
Well, think about it. Because cars are getting better, they're being more engineered and lasting longer. When we were kids, everybody knew about cars because cars didn't last that long. And they had much shorter time intervals between services. So a lot of people, whether they liked it or not, needed to know more about their vehicle. And that's what started guys like you and I working on their vehicles. But now cars are they're more maintenance free than they ever were. So people are completely dismissing it.
That's true. But I actually have taken that thought to another level. When we were kids, and especially us guys of our generation, our parents and our elders and our neighbors, whoever influenced you in your car hobby, were all World War II veterans. And these guys were either probably worked on an airplane or a Jeep or a grinder or a payloader or a grader. They did something. They welded it. And not everybody in the military did, of course, but many people did. Or they worked in jobs like that. So, even my neighbor at the time, who was a banker, he really did nothing. In fact, I have a picture of him at my kitchen sink because he was working on his car, you know, doing some normal maintenance, and he got greasy. He's like, "Oh my God, how do you get this stuff off?" I'm like, "Come over to the house. I got the right soap." And I got him. I got a picture of him in the sink looking over his shoulder at me like, "Give me the real girl," because the guy was a clean banker, and I got him with this grease on his hands.
Yeah, it's the truth. I think I would say more than half of guys like that knew how to change their own oil,
right,
whether they liked it or not. And now that's not the case. Right. Now nobody knows. They put plastic covers over engines so you don't see them when you pop the hood. I think that's blasphemy, if you ask me personally. I think that's wrong.
Now, it goes many different ways, but you're right. You're on track, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's probably why videos like that are just so popular or there at all. Because, I mean, I've known people like that too. A person I knew in my life, in my family, had an Oldsmobile one time, and he brought it into the shop and they jacked the car up. And as the car was going up, the front wheel literally fell off the car. Like it broke away from the A-frame and started to dangle.
That's what
like
you'll
the
see.
Weight of the vehicle was holding it all together.
That's what you'll see in these videos. You'll see stuff just like that. It's horrendous. Mm-hmm. The stuff, how people drive cars.
And you're next to him on the road, which cracks me up.
Right.
And how many times do you do that? You're driving along on any given highway, and you look at the vehicles that are around you, and how many times have you said, "Let me get away from that guy"?
I have. I usually catch the guy. Typically, the one I see most is where the rear of the car and the wheels are just vibrating up and down because the guy's got bad shocks. You know, it's a front-wheel drive car, straight axle in the back, and his bad shock. And those tires are just sitting there vibrating up and down like, okay. Yeah, let's either slow down or get ahead of this guy, right?
Yep. Right, you see some sort of smoke coming out of the back of it, or you see, you know, how many times have you seen cars with bent frames?
You
don't see that much anymore.
No.
But there were times where you saw that Chevy Nova, and it was driving down the road like a crab.
That's why. They were dog-legging, and it was the X-bodies like the Novas, or it was the Chryslers who did it, because the unibody construction cars did that, or the vans. The vans are known for that. They'll be tracking out all over the place, yeah.
Right, you had the rear wheels in one lane, the front wheels are in the middle lane, and he's driving down the road that way. You're like, holy smoke, get away from that guy.
That's right.
Those were those times. And now it's almost funny because cars are so well built now. They're so well engineered compared to then. You don't see the fenders flapping like you used to. Remember driving along and see that guy in the old Bonneville and you'd see the fenders flapping on it. Be like, oh, let me get away from this guy. You don't really see a lot of that anymore, but it's still there. It's still apparent. And it frightens me sometimes when you tell me stories like these. I think if I watch those YouTube videos, I won't get in the car anymore. I won't drive. No, I know. Sell the cars.
It's really kind of funny because you watch them and you know what you're seeing because you work on it. And then the first thing, you know, your mind registers like, well, obviously this wasn't an accident or this wasn't damage that happened and they came in. You can see the suspension parts wore this way. This has been going on for many, many miles and maybe even years. Just total straight up neglect. You know,
yeah. And I just don't get it. I mean, I was raised, listen for the sounds. You're driving along and the old man would say, what's that noise? What's that noise? What's that noise? And what's funny is that you get attuned to it and you do it better than anybody. You'd be sitting waiting in a light and a car will pull up with a noise and you've diagnosed it already in the span of a red light. You know what's wrong with that car. And I do it too. I'm sitting there going, oh, he's got a problem. Or you see the guy make a left-hand turn. You hear the clicking noise. You go, well, that's a universal joint ball joint drive shaft in his future. You know, or you hear it with the way it shifts and you go, hey, he's got a transmission bill coming. So
very true.
It's things like, you know, these things. People don't have that sense anymore. They don't have that. It's like completely washed away. They make the radio louder. Oh, I hear that noise. They make the radio louder and they keep going. I'm like, you're in a vehicle doing 60 miles an hour. You hear a different noise. You better freaking pay attention.
Nice. Oh, Brian just sent me a picture of, this is great. He's got the bill book and he's, look at this, Chris.
You got him on a hook.
He's got an old style Matco receipt book, which is cool, you know, like with the carbon paper, and he's got a wad of cash under there. That's fantastic.
Nice. There you go. Brian going fishing, got himself a trout.
Nice. That's great.
I love when a plan works out. I love it. You know, it's funny because Brian mentioned something earlier in the show about his spidey sense. I have been living by my spidey sense for I can't tell you how long. And it's the truth. It works. You hear that little voice in your head say, yeah, let's go a little earlier over to the parking lot. It may benefit us. Let's go do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't second guess it.
Very true.
Just go.
Very true.
Yeah, it's the truth. I find it funny. So it's, I had a laugh just real fast, talking about used cars. My cousin got, another cousin has a Jeep, a new Jeep, and that he was going to buy his lease. And they offered him more money than he purchased the vehicle.
Yeah, there you go. That's
and I crack up when I think about it. And so, just to add on to that, I meant to bring this up to add on to that used car price woe. But what he has done is, I don't know how he does it, but he's pretty much our age, and he has made the wheels on this Jeep the brightest, shiniest chrome wheels I've ever seen.
Oh wow!
And I think to myself, when we were kids, I would do that. I would try and make the wheels, but after a while, it's a losing battle because they're the first things to get dirty on any road.
Sure.
And after a while, I stopped. I just take a wet rag and I go over the dog dish hubcaps and over the rip. Done.
I went one better. I powder coated mine black.
Yeah, you hose it off.
Yeah,
you don't even have to bend down. You just stand in there with the hose.
Yep, that's right.
So I was laughing. I'm like, hats off to my cousin Pat, who you've met, who can keep his wheels the shiniest I have ever seen. I pulled into the driveway yesterday, and I'm like, psh,
psh. Oh, this is on a newer vehicle, you're saying?
On his newer vehicle, okay. Yeah. Oh, the Camaro you can eat off.
Well, he's got Kregers on that, yeah. And
yeah, he's got Kregers on.
You keep Kregers clean, they do look nice.
Oh my gosh, not a speck of rust, not a little dimple of rust. Right. And you know, every Kreger has got, within the spokes, has got some sort of
over time,
cheap chrome wear on every Kreger. No, not his.
Yeah.
Not his at all. I know. So it's incredible that there's still some people diligent enough out there that will keep their wheels that clean.
Right.
I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't tell you. The amount of brake dust on my wife's Mazda is just, and I'll go out there every once in a while and try and clean it off, but I'm not in there like scrubbing away at it. I just wipe it out, try and not have the brake dust completely eat the aluminum.
Yeah.
Try and wipe it out as best I can, but absolutely, to get it to the magnitude, to the infinitesimal amount of shine, no. Not anymore.
I tell you what I want to do. I want to play this our secondary outro. Then we'll come back and do our own, because I just remembered it. It's so good. Just want to give people a taste, if you will, since we're talking about Brian and our Thursday night shenanigans. Let me just
you're gonna invade the Thursday night show on this show.
Yeah, I gotta play this because people are gonna love this. Let me just do this, and then we'll come back and do our own outs, because Kim is coming in. We gotta get out of here. So let's hear what the boys had to say on a late Thursday night.
All right, Ray, Johnny.
John, what do we say? What does Chris always say? That you always say that he adopted from.
Follow us home.
That's right.
If you know,
unless you got a ham sandwich.
Unless you got a ham sandwich. See, or some Wawa coffee.
Got it.
Yeah, I go for some coffee right now.
If you got ring dings, you can be my friend.
Now that's at about 12 o'clock or 12:30 on a Friday morning. Because that's the way we end the show. So just thought, I always like sharing that because it wasn't scripted. It was just off the cuff. So
Wawa coffee and some ring dings will be John's friend. That's amazing.
So yeah, we're going to be ending up here for today. Our time with the show today is over. We'll be in again next week on Motor Mouth Radio with, we don't have a guest lined up, but you never know. We just might at some point in time. And, we'll talk about my shenanigans, your shenanigans, everybody's shenanigans.
You bet. There's always shenanigans to be had on this program, that's for sure.
So what do we say before we get out of here that you always say that John likes to copy, that now you copy from John, who copied from you?
Don't follow us home, and make sure you know what your tool does.
Exactly. All right, Chris. So with that, for Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, we'll be out of here. Stay tuned for Thunder Road on 90.3 WHPC. We'll see you next week.
See you, bud.
Bye. We'll be right back.